You see, what this world needs now is love. What the world needs now is love. We're going to carry on in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 19 Thessalonians, thank you. How many of you caught that?
Two of you did, yeah, good.
1965. How many of you weren't alive in 1965?
Oh yeah, lots of us here.
Any of you remember any details about 1965? You older folk. Any of you remember anything of 1965? 1965, the Vietnam War started. And protests all over the world, all over the U.S. March 7th of 1965 was Bloody Sunday, as 200 state troopers attacked 525 civil rights demonstrators trying to march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. 2 days later, Martin Luther King led the famous four-day march from Selma to Montgomery, and other civil and national marches and protests around the nation, the U.S. Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe, was in deep civil unrest and war. The Dominican Republic, how many of you have been there, was in deep civil unrest. Pakistan and India were at war in 1965, and they are again in 2025. Who was the Prime Minister in 1965? Anybody remember? Lester B. Pearson. Lester B. Pearson. Who's our Premier? He built Duff Dyke. Duff Roblin was our Premier. On January 28th of 1965, this is good. I have a better one, the next one. But January 28th, the Queen of England issues a royal proclamation effective February 15th, making the maple leaf flag the national flag of Canada. Woohoo! I kind of like that flag. 1965. December 9th, 1965. A Charlie Brown Christmas. The first Peanuts television special. If you want, on my watch, I have Snoopy and Woodstock right here, so you can check that out. The first Peanuts television special debuts on CBC in the United States, which has become a Christmas tradition. How many of you watch A Charlie Brown Christmas every year? A few of you do. We should get together and watch it together. It's so good. In 1965, Burt Bacharach wrote the song, "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love." How many of you remember that song? Jackie DeShannon and Dionne Warwick sang it later on. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. 1965, I'm assuming Burt Bacharach looking around the world and going, this world needs love. What's my point? The world is looking for love, and the church of Jesus Christ, is created and meant to be the greatest at giving love, just like God did. For God so loved the world that he gave love in the person of Jesus Christ. The church is created and is meant to be the greatest the greatest at giving and showing and demonstrating love and the love of God. We all need love. We die without it. We all need love. We die without it. Emotional health, then to our physical health. The prevalence of depression, the prevalence of anxiety, the prevalence of fear, the prevalence of anger, the prevalence of hatred, the prevalence of all kinds of stuff. We need love. Some can change the world. And somehow, Martin Luther and others. But our impact is more local. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 10. Verse 9 and 10, we're carrying on as we're going to take the summer to finish the rest of 1 Thessalonians because it's so rich with practicality. So I'm going to do 9 and 10, and next week Scott Friesen is going to do 11 and 12, and we'll go through it like that. 9 and 10. But we don't need, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other. He says, I don't have to write about it. I'm going to mention it. I don't have to write about it. For God himself has taught you to love one another. You have already been taught to love God, to love each other by God. Verse 10, indeed, you already show your love for all believers. What an encouragement. He's writing to that church who he only knew a few months, and he's going, you guys are amazing at showing love. As your pastor, I stand here and I echo the same words to you, to us. You guys are really good at showing love. I can see it at breakfast. I can see it why we start late every Sunday morning. I can see it as we meet each other during the week or whatever is all going on. You guys are really good at showing love. That's the end of the message. No, and I'm going to carry on because you paid me to do more. Okay? Chuckle. You can chuckle. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia, throughout the RM of Morris and beyond. Even so, brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them, love each other more. Do you want to be better at all kinds of things in our lives? You want to be a better worker, better at school, better at our hobbies, better at being a better person, whatever that looks like, and what God's doing in your heart? And he's saying, let's get better. Let's improve. I love what it says in the Message translation. Regarding life together and getting along with each other, we don't need to tell you what to do. You're God-taught in these matters. Just love one another. Just love one another. You're already good at it. Your friends all over the province of Macedonia are evidence. Keep at it. Get better and better at it. I love that. Jesus talked a lot about loving one another when he was on earth. They're recorded in the Gospels. And we know this. Now, in this passage in 1 Thessalonians, I want you to notice three words. The Bible is originally written in New Testament Greek. So you can go to those words. Yeah. New Testament Greek. So we translate those to English. And the three words are Philadelphia. They talk about the states, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Exactly. That's what that word means in Greek. Philial, Philadelphia, means brotherly love. Agapeo, or agape, what does that mean? God's love. It means God's love for Jesus, God's love for us, the highest level of love. And then Adelphos means just brothers and sisters. So when you go through, so go back to that passage there, please. Dwight is your name. The reason why I did the names before is that I have already apologized again to Austin. I got it. because I couldn't remember his name last week. I felt so dumb. And but anyways, I had it this morning. So names are important. So but anyways, going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. We don't need to write to you about the importance of loving. That's the Philadelphia he's talking about loving one another, the brothers and sisters. We don't have to talk about how you are loving each other. For God himself has taught you to love, which is the agapeo. He's taught you a greater level of love. He's taught us about his love and his love flowing through us. He's taught about that. In verse 10, indeed you already show your love for all the believers, God's family. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But he's talking about now the brothers and sisters together. These types of love are used all together, in these verses, all together. We love each other as brothers and sisters, as with God's love. And this includes, 1 Timothy talks about sons and daughters and mothers and fathers. So wherever we are, we're to love younger than us as brothers and sisters, and those older than us as mothers and fathers, maybe grandparents, whatever. We're supposed to love everyone in appropriate, God-given relationships. These types of love are used together. And it's about family. As I'm looking at these passages, and as you look over all of Scripture, it's about family. God places everyone in families. They are the key to our development as individuals. And then we form our own families, and on it goes. We're all families. Unfortunately, some families don't do well, or are perceived maybe not to do well, and someone leaves a family and they realize they're missing a family. Deep inside everyone's heart is a need for family, is a need for connection, is a need to be able to relate to each other. And then these individuals then look for something to belong in, whether that be gangs, whether that be bad groups of any kind, maybe it be organizations or be a family in a sports team or in a hobby group or even online communities. There's all kinds of places to find family, a place to belong. And sometimes we look at other groups and go, why in the world would that person be a part of that group? Because we look at that group and go, what a group. Like, that's a weird group, or that's a bad group, or that's a dangerous group. Why would anybody want to be a part of that? That's dumb, or that's dangerous, or you shouldn't go there. The need is that family need, that need to connect, and to matter, and to belong. That's all within, it's all God-given. How we do it is not God-given, but that need to belong. But the best still remains face-to-face. COVID taught us that. It's about being together, face-to-face, in each other's sort of space, talking to each other. That's the key. And that is with Jesus at the center of the group and for growing and restoring families. What the world needs now is love. The Church of Jesus Christ is at the center of this. It's interesting that what would have demonstrated love as they met in homes. Family is in a home, but the church, the early church, met in homes. They didn't have big churches when the church started. It was a couple hundred years later. But they met in homes. And that's why I really feel that small groups in our church are really key. It's why we do tables, not rows. What's the phrase? Communities built in circles, not in rows? Something like that. It's not new with me. But there's something about a circle. There's something about a table. There's something about a home. To be in a large group like this or a large group is great, but it's being in the small. Did you know that the number of small churches just like ours is on the rise across Canada. In fact, there are more small churches like us than there are medium-sized churches. And there's more small churches like us than mega churches. Why? Why is it that the small churches in Canada are growing in the numbers of small churches? Why? I've just been talking about it for the last 15 minutes. Family. Exactly. It's because we are all looking for a place to connect, like Norm and Cheers, right? Everybody knows your name. Norm! Who just passed away, I think, this last week. Right? Everybody knows that's what made Cheers and the bar such an important place. Everybody knows your name. Our mission, one of our missions, as we're trying to sort that all out, is we gather together in community. We are more a gathering than a service. That's why many of us, and I try to never use the word service. We're not here for a service this morning. We're here for a gathering. We're having a baptism gathering in a couple of weeks. We have breakfast together. We gather, we're a body. And we do this in small groups, and hospitality with each other, and connecting here on Sunday mornings. Now, practically, let's put this all together practically. How do we do this? Using the five love languages. How many of you have heard of the five love languages? Now, primarily when Dr. Gary Chapman wrote this up, it was about marriage. He's really trying to help couples get together more and really connect, which is great. I want to use it as a church. So around your tables in a moment, I'm going to get you to discuss this a little bit here. There are five primary love languages of how we show love and care to each other. Whether it's words of affirmation, I did that, I was coaching our soccer team in Altona last Thursday. And there were a couple of really good players on the other team. You could tell they knew soccer. And when we went through the line to shake each other's hands, I held onto their hand and I said, "You obviously know soccer. Keep going." And I said that to a couple of their players. I say it all the time to our team, right? I say it all the time to our team. But these two kids on this other team, I really wanted to commend that they knew what that word of affirmation. I need lots of words of affirmation. That's part of one of my languages. Acts of service, helping someone, big or small. Just helping people in acts of service. Giving gifts, I love gifts. Birthday gifts, holiday gifts, Christmas, different times. Big or small, maybe just because. Quality time. I love getting together with many of the men here in church and just doing breakfast or lunch or coffee. Sorry, ladies, I just don't do that one-on-one with you. But I just love getting together quality time with individuals. And then physical touch, the side hugs, the handshakes, or the man hugs, whatever we want to call it. Now, talk around your table. What is it that you love to receive or that you love to give? One of these five. Talk about that. Maybe somebody's done one of these things for you recently. But I want us to get practical on how this actually works in your relationships and in a church. Okay? So go to it. What is it that you like? One of those that works for you, and what do you love to do for others? Okay? Go.
Thank you.
nation. Okay? How many of you acts of service? Okay? Giving gifts. Giving and receiving gifts. How many of you? Okay? Quality time. Oh, awesome. Okay? And physical touch. Okay, now, here's a quick key about these five. We have the one that meets us. So for instance, words of affirmation for me. So that's the way I tend to naturally always want to show love to others. Okay? But the key is that I may compliment Paul, but he actually wants a man hug. That would be what he but it may not meet him as much as a good man would. So what we're doing with love to others is we're not just doing what makes us feel good, we're looking at what does that other person appreciate? What would make them really feel loved? Right? And that's the key to look beyond. And that's part of what I believe the Apostle Paul is saying when he's saying, do more. You're already doing, he's complimenting, and I'm complimenting us. We're already doing a great job, and he's saying, let's just do more. So what we have to do is take that extra step of just looking a little bit more outside of ourselves and say, how can I meet that person? How can I encourage that person? How can I show care? How can I show love? So that they, in the same way, would know that God loves them. We're like Jesus, only with skin on, right? We can be the practical hands and feet and arms and words practically to each other. Why does this matter? I need love. You need love. The person next to you needs love. The whole world needs love, sweet love. So, Todd and Amy, come on up. And Amy, sit. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this church. You've made us into a good church. And your love is flowing around this church. Holy Spirit, you're here as well, working in our hearts. And we pray that you would help us to love each other more and more. That you would help us to love each other better and better. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.